Well, as Alexander was mentioning, this is kind of a continuation of the talk I had before. The previous one was about passkeys. And this time, it's not only about passkeys, but about other passwordless authentication mechanisms. So now I have more time, so I will present myself correctly. So my name is Iker. I'm a software engineer at Red Hat. I work in the identity management world, more specifically for the SSSD, Shadow, and Linux PAM projects. I'm the upstream maintainer for Shadow. So if you want to contribute there, we are welcoming new patches and fixes. In the past, I also worked as a software engineer, but in the automotive sector first, and then in the 3D printing world for HP, doing their industrial 3D printers. And something that I didn't mention here is that I like swimming. So if you are a swimmer, we are in the same team. So regarding the agenda, I will have a little introduction about passwordless authentication. And then I will deep dive into the actual status of the passkey, smart card, or external identity provider authentication mechanisms in the graphical user interface. I will also provide the vision that we have right now, including some mockups and even a demo. And finally, I will give us a conclusion. So let's start with passwordless authentication. So what is passwordless? It's a way to authenticate a user without using a password. Well, that's kind of a common ground. It usually involves multi-factor authentication and also single sign-on. And on top of that, it strengthens the security by, well, you are using a public key instead of a password. You are not reusing it. You are not vulnerable to a data breach because whatever the attacker takes from the server where you are storing this data, it's just a public key. They have no knowledge of anything else. And on top of that, it improves the user experience. Because, well, they don't have to remember so many passwords. They just go there and try to authenticate with passwordless. So currently, the passwordless authentication mechanisms that we are providing in free APA and SSSD are the passkey, smart card, and external identity providers. So for the passkey, we are using FIDO2. In smart cards, well, this is one of our internal Spanish national identity number. And then we have OAuth2 for external identity providers. So now let's see what's the current status of passkeys in the graphical user interface. So first of all, you enter your username, and you arrive to this screen, where we can read, insert your passkey, then what? I can tell you, it's then press enter. But it's because I know it. Nobody else would know. I mean, you can kind of guess, but you wouldn't then be sure. On top of that, that's a text box. You are supposed to enter some data in a text box, but we don't need any data there. So we are just informing you that you need to insert the passkey, nothing else. Second, if you press enter there, you would arrive here. It's asking you for a PIN, but it could be that you don't need a PIN. You don't have an extra user verification. So why request for a PIN when you don't need it? So if you don't need, you just press enter here, and you would continue the process. But who knows it? And finally, well, you are requested to touch the passkey. The LED is usually blinking, so you just touch it, and you're authenticated. So our proposal, two different things. So if you don't need a passkey, a PIN, you will be requested to insert the security key. You will insert it, press enter, and then you are done. But if you are required to enter a PIN, well, you have a text box where you need to enter the PIN. As you can see, it's kind of better understood what is expected from the user. On top of that, I didn't mention it before, when you are doing passkey authentication, you can do it either locally or remotely. If you are doing it remotely in the server, you will get a Kerberos ticket. But what happens if you are doing it locally? How do you know that you don't get the Kerberos ticket? Well, you need to inform the user somehow. And we are still trying to figure out how to inform the user that it will not get the Kerberos ticket, it will not be able to do the single sign-on, and, well, to inform it. Okay, next one, smart cards. So the state here is kind of better. You have the available users. You select a smart card, and then you come here. You are requested for the PIN, and that's all. Okay, this one was easy, but maybe not so easy. What if you have more than one certificate for the user? So you select the user, you come to the second screen, and we have the same problem as with passkeys. There's lots of text here, and it doesn't fit in the same box. So maybe you know which one to choose, maybe you don't. You come to the next screen, choose one, and you are requested for the PIN. We also need to improve this. The user needs to know which certificate to select and why it's selecting this one. So currently, I don't have any proposal for this. We are still working on it. I will show you later on where we are proposing the OS mockups. Okay. Last one, external identity providers. So I will show you the current state in the command line interface. So you try to log in with Zoo, and it says authenticate with PIN. It provides some PIN at a web page, and then it requests you to press enter. So if you go to this web page in a browser, and you input the code that is there, you press on continue. Then you come to the next screen where you are requested to authorize this request, because, well, maybe it's somebody else that is trying to be you, and it's not really you. So you authorize it, you press enter, and you are authenticated. Nice. And what about the graphical user interface? It's not possible. You cannot use it. And here comes the first demo. Yeah. So I will input my username here. OK, you see. You have your username here and then the login button. If you press it, you are shown a QR code, a URL, and the login code. So this QR code will redirect you to this web page. And on top of that, we haven't finished this yet, but we will provide also an embedded web browser alongside this, where you will be able to provide the login code and authorize the request. Thing is that, well, first of all, you are embedding a web browser inside the login screen, which is maybe not a good idea for security reasons. And then you also need to take into account that it's not easy. So we are still working on it, and it's, you know, thing to do. So if I were to follow the workflow here, I enter the code. Nope. Okay, I press on continue. Now I need to authorize the request. I'm requested for the PIN, for the password, sorry. Okay, now you are supposed to press on enter and it will work. Well, I will tell you we have a bug here, a problem. I haven't been able to solve it before the presentation, so it will fail and it will show you another screen. But in reality, that would be all. So you press done, and then you are authorized and you are logging inside the computer. So what more? Okay, so we currently have several authentication mechanisms, but how do you select them in the graphical user interface? It's not possible. There's no way. So you are prompted for either the passkey or the smart card, and that's all. You cannot select it. No way. But we already have a proposal for that also. So I will come back again here. I will need, okay. So you have the web login here, and you have this small key. And this user, apart from the web login, also has the password authentication option. So you can press it, and you are requested to enter the password. you can come back again, say, OK, I don't want the password. I want the web login. And it takes some time, but it comes back. On top of that, you are a user. You authenticate the first time with a given method, let's say passkeys. You log out. And the next time that you come back to the same login screen, it will ask you for the passkey, not some other method. It will remind that you tried to authenticate using the passkey and that you succeeded, so that the next time the graphical user interface will ask you for the same exactly the same method. Of course, you can change, but so that you don't have to start, you know, changing the method every time, because there's some priority that always tries to do the same authentication method. So in conclusion, we have here the software design. It's more or less that GDM prompts the user for the login prompt. The user will input the username, and GDM will start a PAM conversation. So when SSSD has already resolved the username and obtained the available authentication methods and all the data related to them, it will generate a JSON message and send it back to the GDM. So GDM already has all the information for all the available methods and the prompts that it needs to provide. The user will provide the information, and GDM will come back and will generate another JSON message informing SSSD which method to use and which data the user input. So if you want to know more about this topic, here you have a web page. This is the design that we are currently writing. It's still work in progress, but well, for external IDPs, it's kind of more or less done, so we don't expect to change it much. As a wrap-up, so these are the high-level requirements. The user should be able to select the authentication mechanism. It also should be able to use the previously mentioned authentication mechanism to authenticate. On top of that, the previous attempt should be remembered so that the next time that the user comes, it's prompt for the same authentication mechanism. And finally, the user interface shouldn't get in the way. So it should be easy and simple. We don't need to start doing strange things. The user needs to feel comfortable, and it should follow the same workflows that he's used to follow in other application or in the web browser. So last slide, reference links. So the first link is the design mockups that the NOMI team has prepared. You have there almost everything except for the two or more smart card certificates. This is still a work in progress. On top of that, the second link is the link to the SSSD GDM interface that I mentioned previously, like two or three slides ago. And finally, you have a copper repository if you'd like to test it. We are building it for Fedora Rawhide. So if you want to test it, well, I would wait 1 or 2 weeks more until we stabilize everything here, especially for external identity providers. But then you should be able to test it. So that's all. Thank you. And do you have any question?
What happens if you're not connected to the internet and you're using a authentication?
Okay, so you are asking what happens if you are not connected to the internet, to the internet, and well, you try to authenticate. Well, if you try to do a external identity provider authentication, you will not be able to do it because you don't have internet.
Is there a way that I can connect to Wi-Fi?
You can.
Yes.
You mean in the login interface?
Yes, in the login
interface. No, I don't think so.
Not yet.
Yeah. Good idea. Yeah, but maybe you can use another method that doesn't require internet connection.
Yeah, but then what's the point of even having the internet login? Like, if I need to remember my password, and I have the ability to use a password, which is less secure, then I just make the entire system even less secure by adding another way of logging in.
Yeah, but
while not actually improving anything.
Okay, so you want to know?
Yeah.
I get your point here that, okay, you enabled the web login and you don't want to use another authentication method that is less secure just because you don't have internet access there. Mm-hmm. Then I would recommend you to use passkeys or smart cards.
Yeah.
because usually the user is cached there in the
Is there like no network manager access in the login page?
No, I don't think so.
Can we add that because that would make it like work?
We can discuss it.
Yeah,
it's a good feedback.
I mean, there are certain potential issues with network manager. Like network manager also has access, for example, to VPN configurations. So you would have to create a special interface for network manager that didn't expose secret information.
Yeah.
So this is actually a common problem that exists for quite some time. And I've been talking about this at Potsdam in 2016 already, when the, how they call these, in hotels they have portals.
Yeah, yeah.
Before you connect to VPN, but you cannot connect to VPN before you go online. Mm-hmm. And you need to be online to and solve first this portal challenge. So it's still the same problem. You need to run browser effectively before. So running network manager with the access to potentially user private information before authenticating and identifying the user is another problem. Yes, we are not looking at that problem specifically within the context of this one, but solving ability to run the browser before the login will help us to solve some of these problems. And I know that at least three major distributions are working on this set of problems, but it's a question of prioritizing things.
Yeah. I think that it should be solvable to run the browser securely.
It is.
Yes.
We have stuff to work in, but we'll take a while.
Yes.
Go ahead.
First, thanks for working on this. Like, clearly, there's a lot of work to do. Have you done like a accessibility review, like on this? For disabled people, especially.
Yeah.
And actually connected to that is, for example, I noticed that when you shown, like the UI, it was a bit far off from what people expect when they go to a website, for example. Like, for example, you shown like to select a factor, an authentication factor, was a small icon on the bottom right with a key icon, right? It's not really like what people are used to, like when they go to websites. So why is that essentially, and indeed, like how is that connected to an accessibility review?
Okay, so the question here is whether we took into account the access to disability people, and more specifically, when you are about to select the authentication mechanism, that the icon is kind of small and it's on the right side. So I know there's been some people from the UX team working on this, and I'm quite sure that if you go to the first link there and you provide your feedback there, they will take it into account.
Yeah, there's like going GNOME issues and the design team section, there are actual these mockups,
yeah.
So you can add your
Thank you. And you can follow it and, you know, provide further feedback if you don't like it. Yeah.
Thank you.
We are still working on this, so everything is like work in progress.
Yeah.
As much feedback as we can get, the better, because we'll provide a better product for our customers to use.
I just want to make clear that was more than a criticism.
No.
Search for a rationale, essentially. Right?
No. Yeah. I'm not part of the UX team, so I don't have the exact details.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay.
First of all, thank you very much for your work as well as the presentation. There was a picture of logging with security key which looked like a mock-up. Is this feature already available? When do you expect it will be available?
I guess you mean this one, right?
Yes, this one.
Yeah, it's still a mock-up, and we'll work on it. So we started with external entity providers, and we'll continue with the other two methods.
Okay.
So I don't know when this will be available, but we are working on it. Sorry, go ahead.
So, of course, you're primarily implementing, integrating this first into GDM, of course, because that's what you're working on. But will you implement it in such a way, or when it is finalized and solidified, can people who have different display managers or even implement their own be able to implement that?
Yeah.
because otherwise we'll be forced to either use GDM or maybe SDDM.
Okay. So the question was whether other login providers, like I guess KDE or some other one.
LightDM maybe.
Yeah. If they will be able to provide this authentication mechanism. The answer is yes. They just need to follow this design. So the PAM conversation is part of the libpan, which is kind of standard nowadays. And the JSON message, it's defined here in this design page. So the graphical interface just needs to follow this to be able to implement it.
Yeah,
it's not implemented, but if somebody wants to already start implementing it, we are fine with it. I mean, we don't have any problem. We are providing Nomi because we are using that in Fedora.
Yeah.
But anybody else can come here and implement their their part. Yeah.
So they're going to have that tight level of integration where you need to have...
No, not at all, not at all. We just need a PAM conversation there happening and to follow this diagram. That's all. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I wonder if, for example, I have a laptop set up with both password authentication and a second PAMD module for Trezor, which is like, it's this USB thing, and I can click the button and I can log in, and that allows me to choose whether I type in my password or I press the button on the Trezor. And you have it so that you have, like, you have two different flows for the authentication. Do you think it would be possible to set it up so that you could either type in your password or tap your smart card, you know, to have it win a single flow without the user selecting the flow, right? If you have a smart card reader of an NFC device on your laptop, then when the password prompt is showing, it would potentially be possible for the user to tap their smart card even though the password prompt is showing without the user having to click on anything.
And like I can type my password at the door, log in, you know, tap my fingerprint.
Yeah,
it's the same on your phone. You can make your symbol, or you can just use your fingerprint scanner. You don't need to choose
how to
unlock your phone.
This is a bit more complicated than the case of GNOME and GDM, because GDM uses different PAM stack configuration for cases when it detects a smart card, and uses GDM smart card.
Yeah.
And that one explicitly includes expectation that smart card is engaged. So it will not use the one that uses just the password in that case. Your device, if it's supported by a separate PAM module,
yes,
then it will work in the stack of the normal password-based authentication. It will work with this one. This one will be skipped completely because your module will handle it. That's how PAM works. So the whole concept here is dependent on PAM basically being used correctly.
So time's up. Andreas, do you want to say something like
that? Yeah. Do you plan to extend the PAM conversion of how to talk to PAM? Because that's still very limited. And one problem, for example, is if you have multiple domains and want to have a selection that the user is able to select this domain, that's a problem to present. So you actually would need to extend the PAM conversation actually to first extract some information from that.
We can use the same JSON format.
Yeah.
It already allows you to do that.
Yeah.
We're going to find a binary plausible, which is part of PAM, that's not supposed to solve the game. And so the information goes to there. So it's not a classic on
Okay, time's up. I think we can continue this discussion outside.